We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
All right, today I am talking to two modern versions of Game of Thrones characters. We have my son and stars, Josh Vogel. He's the kindler, gentler Khal Drogo for you Game of Thrones fans.
Khal Vogel.
And his Khaleesi.
Oh, my God.
My moon and stars.
Actually, the moon of my life.
Yes.
That's
moon,
right.
Moon of my...
Angela Vogel.
May you ride the horse through the dark lands forever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a blonde, though.
Neither is she.
Just like the actress.
Yep.
True. I told you that's why she can't play blonde, because she's not truly a blonde. She hasn't... She's
that's
missing.
Right.
She doesn't have enough fun.
Her blonde is not very believable. So, Angela... I have a million questions for her because she's a fascinating person for several reasons. One, she's a brilliant chef. Two, she's a recent beginner in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that has gotten good very fast. So that's very interesting for us to see, you know, how the hell do you do it?
And she's the third Vogel that's been on the show.
Oh, yes.
She is. That's true. And she's a woman.
The only woman that's been on the show.
Yeah. Oh, am I the first woman?
Yes,
yeah.
You're the first woman.
You're a pioneer.
You're breaking
that's
ground.
That's right. That's right.
And she's also a woman that does jiu-jitsu. Well, that's
also, you know, fancy. And a woman chef.
And the right, and a woman chef. Yeah. A woman, woman, everything.
Yeah. She's chef, right?
You're not always a woman, no matter what I'm doing. Yeah.
You're not a man in any of the activities you take on.
Exactly.
And then you're also the last thing is you're. You have to deal. You're married to a black belt jiu-jitsu instructor, so you have a kind of a perspective.
I've got the insight.
An insight, yeah. But also you have to deal with certain peculiar qualities, I'm sure. So
yes.
That's all the things I have questions to you about. Oh, let's see. Where the hell do you start? Well, first, in terms of Games of Thrones characters. What do you think of Khaleesi? Do you like her? What's her name? Daenerys Targaryen?
Stormborn Targaryen, right?
What the hell?
Oh, I mean, I have a Targaryen t-shirt, so yeah. Clearly I'm in love with Khaleesi. But
yeah. Do you like her? The question I have for you is, do you like her before or after the passing of her husband? So do you like her? So to me, the dragons represent like cats. Like she's an old cat lady at this point.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
So she never quite recovered from the loss of her husband. Although in some ways.
So she got some cats.
Yeah, she got some cats and now is trying to take over the world. So do you like the love story of, you know, the love story of this kind of weird relationships that they had or.
I mean, I guess it's nice that he bought her and she grew to love him.
He bought her as a 14-year-old slave.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess that's kind of sweet that she ended up, you know, liking him, even though he forced her to have sex with him in the first time that they met. Yeah.
He bought her as a 14-year-old slave
that,
and then raped
really
her.
It's really lovely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, after he dies, she clearly takes the reins on some shit. So
she is mad.
That's, I like that. I mean, I would lose my mind if you died, so yeah. Pretty sure I would want to, like, fuck some people up. Yeah, with dragons, probably.
But don't you use dark magic to resurrect me if I do die?
Nah, because I don't want you to come back as like a bumbling idiot or anything. Yeah. I like you the way you are.
I'd be all fucked up on the mat.
I didn't even think about that. I'd probably be able to pass your guard though,
just
at that
lay
point,
there.
Which would be awesome.
All right. You guys have a lot of energy. and we just got done training pretty hard, so they're pretty wired up.
Yeah.
Anyway, of course, I'm half joking that you're like the Khaleesi, but you've chosen a sport. It's kind of like battling and
squash.
Yeah, we're gonna have to deal with that with that issue another day.
That's another day.
It's, but yes, the squash community is firmly behind this podcast, so we have to acknowledge their existence. As I was researching, you know, if you Google like. The most badass women in history, in terms of women warriors, somebody that comes up often is somebody named Zenobia. This is this chick that lived. There it is. This is what I'm talking about with three pages of notes. she lived in the 3rd century AD and modeled herself after Cleopatra. But she was she had a husband, a powerful guy. He passed away. There's a lot of suspicious stuff around that, that it's supposed that she was behind his murder. Throughout history, kings had a lot of wives. There was this very interesting kind of competition that you had to. So, you know, you have a kid with each one of the wives or whatever. And there's a kind of, the competition is sometimes very dirty in trying to get, you, for the woman, your son to get him to be the king. So you have to kind of kill the others off somehow in a sneaky way. So this is a very interesting power struggle that goes on. But once her husband passed away, she was in Syria at that time, and the which is part of the Roman Empire. And since, you know, she decided that you know, fuck this, I am gonna stand up to the Roman Empire and gonna try to take a big bite out of it. And she did successfully. She conquered Egypt, a large part of Asia Minor, and became queen of that what was called the Palmyrene Empire. So, all this boring shit. But the point is that she was not afraid of this.
She did it without dragons.
She yes, did it. She did it without dragons. As she, you know, she's conquered Egypt. So she conquered a very important trade routes for the Roman Empire. All right, this chick was badass. In other words, but another, the last most important point about her. Here's where I feel like is the difference with between her and a girl and a guy. Is when she was eventually defeated, she was... So you have to have a shitload of ego to think you can stand up to the Roman Empire, right? But when she was eventually defeated by Aurelian, which is the emperor at that time, he ran over her like a train. He had to actually drag his ass all the way across the empire. He's like, oh, fuck, this chick. So he didn't expect their problems to arise, so he dragged his ass all the way across the empire with a huge army and ran over her, but... The point is, instead of sort of doing what a lot of people do at that point, is you kill yourself. You kind of like, because you're too proud to face defeat. She kind of quickly, like, you know, sneaked away and lived the remainder of her life in a very kind of happy, peaceful, quiet existence. So, unlike most people that try to conquer a major. Area and die, she actually lived for that time a long life. For us it's not, but
that's like what you hear about mafia bosses too. Like, they never make it out happy. They either go to prison or they die, but it's never like they go retire somewhere nice,
yeah,
like
in
Florida.
Yeah. True.
Well, yeah, but her idea is that you can be beautiful, but you can also drink and fight with the men. Which I think is a cool thing to live by. So the question for you, Angie, is do you think women can make good warriors like Khaleesi and Zenobia?
Yeah, why not? I mean, we're moody, but you know, I mean, I think those decisions are passionate decisions. I think women, although they are probably highly emotional, can function in that kind of thing. When you feel passionate about something, you go after it regardless. I mean, I don't know. I have no sense of direction, so like tactically, I would probably really be terrible. But like, when, like, I would have to call Josh and ask.
You get lost in Asia Minor.
Yeah, which way do I send the warriors? But I mean, beyond that, I could definitely fight for something. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm gonna go left.
I feel like this is gonna get me really killed. Yeah, why not? I mean, I don't think I could keep up drinking with men, though.
If I gave you a lot of power, would you be able to handle that? Would power corrupt you?
Don't like, give her power left.
No, you know, it does. I mean, I've managed kitchens for a long time, and you do... there's no way to not, like, walk into a situation knowing you're in charge and not feel that you're in charge. I mean, there's no... You can't go in there and be like, oh, well, hi, guys. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, if you have the power, you have to use it. I mean, not necessarily abuse it, but you can't let anybody walk all over you either, so...
Yeah, but you... you have great responsibility, like Spider-Man.
Yes.
Like you have the power, but then you don't misuse it.
Yeah, but that's why power is not always pleasurable. I mean, sometimes it sucks.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that you often hear about. You know, in Congress, people talk about women. You know, if women ran Congress or if women ran the government, that everything would work out very nicely and beautifully because there would be a lot of collaboration.
I disagree. I think there would be a lot of like shit talking behind each other's backs. That's exactly what would happen.
It's really the same thing.
I mean, you may have like 3 weeks out of the month where everybody would be cool, but then everyone would get their period at the same time and it would be over.
Yeah. All hell break loose.
Yeah. Women love to talk about other women. I mean, I don't think that would run as smoothly as people think.
Guys do that too, though.
I think it would balance out.
Like,
but women are like super like catty and like vindictive about it. I feel like I don't know.
But
like,
guys make a lot of decisions based on like looking tough in front of other guys and not wanting to look like a wimp.
See, I don't know. Like, I kind of feel that way. Like, I don't want to get like my ass beat in front of other people.
Yeah.
Not forget guys and girls. Like, I wouldn't want to like. Nobody wants to suck at whatever they're doing. You know what I mean? So, like, I think everybody makes decisions because they're afraid to look like an idiot.
And you mentioned that you managed the kitchen, so you let me I actually Googled your name.
Yeah,
I did the work.
Was that the most douchebag thing ever?
Yeah,
I was like, you can just Google me.
So I wrote to Angie, he's like, hey, can you give me some information about your life and stuff? And she's like, well, you can just Google me, bro.
I have to say, there was a point in my life where I was Googleable, and I was like, that's pretty fucking awesome.
No, that's cool. You have like all these interviews, like with pictures and like official sounding things. Yeah,
people want to talk to me. I don't know why.
Yep, you have like a bio. Like it's beautiful.
Someone wrote it.
Yeah,
I know.
This is all before she was a Vogel.
I know. Yeah, you can't look me up by my.
Now you're super famous.
If anybody wants to Google me, you can't look me up by my maiden name. You have to do Tustin.
Yeah, I tried. Yeah, I tried Googling Angela Vogel.
That's why I went back to Tustin professionally instead of. Vogel, because Vogel means nothing. It only means something in jiu-jitsu. Yeah.
And bodybuilding.
Yeah. I mean, at balance, I'm definitely a Vogel, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And carpentry.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Isn't there like a...
There's a country singer, Josh Vogel. There's a bodybuilder, and there's a country... Oh, wait, did I say country singer?
You said it twice.
Country singer, and bodybuilder, and a woodworker.
And a country singer.
There is an Angela Vogel who's a poet laureate of somewhere. I'm not sure where, but she took my email address.
So you did mention, you know, culinary world. You worked... Le Parfum.
Is that French?
Yes. Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Like
that's Lex's,
or something,
Lex's
right?
apology to the French community is just took that form.
Well, if you hear me say it, I just say Le Parfum. So it's
I can't.
Just,
that means the end of back, by the way.
Yeah, fin. Les jus sont fins.
The juice on fire?
The juice on fire. That was a long time ago. I worked at Four Seasons, and then I worked at Circa, which is on Walnut Street. And then the last 10 years or so, I was at the same place in Ardmore.
And then you interned at Le Parfum, right?
Yeah, I did my internship,
And I should say...
But before that, she worked at Dunkin' Donuts as a teenager.
I did.
Right.
That was kind of like the...
That's where you got
the highlight of the career.
Yes. That's when I used to dip... What does my bio say? I used to like take joy in dipping sprinkled donuts or something. I don't know. Yeah. Something ridiculous. I remember hearing that and being like, all right, if that's what you guys want to go with. Like, but yes, I did start baking at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, so you're a pastry chef, I should say. And
chef,
you're an amazing one, as everyone knows that knows you well. And so when did you first get into baking? I mean, why baking?
I have to be honest, like, I had no idea what I wanted to do after high school. I went to like a really big academic high school, and everyone was going to Penn and Drexel, and I was just like, I don't want to do that. I knew I didn't want to do it. I had no money, and I knew I didn't want to go like insanely into debt. So I started to look at trade schools, and I thought, maybe I can cook. I don't know. I mean, I grew up without money, so we never ate out. Like, eating out was McDonald's.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not like I went to restaurants on Walnut Street and was like, oh, wow, this really intrigues me. It was nothing like that. I just thought, let me give it a shot, see if I like it. It's cheap as shit to go to culinary school, especially in Philly. So that's what I did.
But I thought, didn't you like mess around with cakes and stuff when you were a kid? Like, didn't you?
No,
have some
my
kinda...
mom, like my mom made us. She made our birthday cakes. Okay, that's what. Like that was kind of like the cool thing.
Like, was it
she,
like a fancy type of cake, or was it?
Yeah, she did a good job. I mean, she. But you know, there's like a kind of cake where you do these little like dots and it makes a picture. It's like pointillism, but yeah, on like a cake. But like, and she used to make these cakes for us, and I mean, I never occurred to
you
me
had to stand 20 feet
cakes,
away from
so.
The cake though to see what the yeah, what the image was.
Yeah, it's a Monet. Yeah. But yeah, I thought I'd give it a shot, and about a month in, I loved it and was like, wow, I got lucky. Same thing with jiu-jitsu. I thought I'd give it a shot, and then 2 weeks later, I was on the mat 5 days a week.
Something I was always curious about, chefs, is you're making obviously really delicious stuff, and is it possible to maintain a reasonable diet while you're also making some of this... Obviously, most of the stuff you make is, you know, you're supposed to enjoy in small portions, you know, and so I imagine you try a lot of this stuff. So what's your relationship like with the food you make?
With food? Yeah. I was really heavy, like maybe, 5 years ago?
Something yeah, about like that. That.
About 5 years ago, I lost like 70 pounds. Oh, so wow. I was big.
Well, how did you lose it? I mean,
I just did diet exercise. I never exercised before. I mean, he used to try to help me, and I would cry. Like, I couldn't do a sit-up. Like, nothing. And just one day, I mean, I went to the doctors. I had high blood pressure. I was 23 or... No, I'm sorry. I was a little bit older than that. 27.
You're like 27, yeah.
Something like that. And I had high blood pressure. I had terrible knees, terrible ankles. I mean, I was, like, over 250 pounds. I mean, I was, like, big. Yeah. And, I just had enough. I was like, I was miserable. I didn't feel good about myself. I mean, you know, as women, we put a lot of value on appearance. So yeah. I felt terrible, you know, and I just started to diet, and then I started running. And honestly, I started exercising on the Wii Fit. Like, I would do that stupid hula hoop for like a half an hour until I sweat. But when you're 250 pounds, you sweat doing a hula hoop. You know what I mean? It was all fat. So I just, little by little.
But the other side of that is the diet. Like, when did you... Like for me, like when I grew up in Russia, I didn't have any concept of calories.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when I came here, I pigged out on everything. I loved food, but somebody along the line, some fucking asshole, explained to me about calories and dieting and things like that. Yeah. And that's when that's when the struggle began. Like, I was a happy fat kid. You know, nobody...
And then, you know, it turns out it's bad for you.
Yeah,
That's how I thought about smoking cigarettes. Yeah. I'm like, damn, they're bad for me.
So when did you learn about calories and
that
all this
same time.
Stuff?
I mean, I just started, you know, thank God for the internet, because I just start looking up, and then I joined Weight Watchers, and that's pretty helpful as far as portion control goes. And then I got really interested in, like, nutrition and figuring out what I need. And I was like a cheesesteak person, like every day. What do you eat? Right. Okay, hoagies and cheesesteaks, right? That's food. And, you know, you just have to really just research what's good for you, I guess.
But so your relationship with food, could you see yourself as like, is it an essential part of your life? Like, could you live without dessert? Or
Yeah, I mean, I could. I enjoy it, so I don't. But, I don't know. It's my whole life is food. Like, a big part of what I do is food, and then I have to eat like 3 times a day at least.
So. I guess that's the question I have is, you like make these, like I think of it as chef as you're like making art.
Yeah.
Is that connected to you eating yourself?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it becomes a job just like anything else. Uh-huh. I don't think it's like, you know, I don't have to make myself like a huge, beautiful thing in order to eat. You know what I mean? Like, I can have like a turkey sandwich and be fine. But I mean, it's fun to sort of like...
She doesn't even cook when I'm not home. We were talking about this yesterday.
No, I don't. I never cook unless it's for someone. Yeah. Or I won't, like, sit and make myself a meal. Like, I won't put, like, there's no, like, okay, half the plate's lettuce, and this is that, and this is this. I will not. Just, I will like, stand at the fridge and eat, like, turkey.
Like, raw ingredients.
Yeah, I'm just like all right, what am I going to put in my face right now because I'm hungry? So, which is bad because I should take care of myself.
Like, what's your favorite ingredient?
Favorite ingredient?
One for cooking and the other for eating.
These are like the worst questions for chefs. It's like, what do you make the best?
Well,
like,
see,
I don't know.
We just had another with a teammate of ours that trains, and he was really big on peanut butter today.
Oh,
we
yes.
had a conversation.
Yeah.
He was very clear. You know, he was a simple man.
He wanted chocolate and peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Very easy to work with.
So do you have something like that?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
if
I needed one thing, it'd be like butter.
Well, let me rephrase it. No, let me rephrase it. Think of it as if I told you you can only eat one, like, meal, one dish for the rest of your life, over and over and over, what would it be?
Oh my God, mom's favorite chicken.
That shit's good.
Josh told me one time his mom used to make them this chicken, like, fried in parquet. Like, it's mm-hmm. breaded chicken fried in parquet.
Yeah, it's just chicken, like, thin.
It's just cutlets. Chicken cutlets.
Yeah.
And we, like, it's mom's favorite chicken. Like, we have to have mom's favorite chicken. That's
it's
probably
good.
My favorite. Like, that's, like, that's
Romeo. Whose mom?
His mom.
My mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
She used to make it, and we used to call it, it wasn't, she didn't actually like it that much, but when Drew and I were kids, we used to call it mom's favorite chicken.
Yeah.
Because it was our favorite chicken.
But mom made it.
So mom made it. Yeah, we didn't understand the English language yet.
Yeah.
So.
But as far as, like, what I would cook with, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I really don't. I like to cook everything.
Do you also like to cook not just pastry?
Yeah, I love to cook. I mean, I was an executive chef at another place too, so I've done savory food too. I enjoy it. It's fun. It's a different pace. Pastry's sort of like you have more time because things have to set up and things have to cool, and it's not like on the fly like working the line is, which is a totally different like ball game. But pastry's more chill. Like the pastry people are always more emotional and more. Like, laid back. Like,
what a weird mix.
Yeah, it is. It's weird because we don't care because we have more time to get stuff done. But then we're like, what do you mean? You touched it. Why? Oh, my God. It's going to fall. You know? So then we go crazy.
So is there a greater emphasis on, like, perfection in pastry?
Yeah. I mean, it's a science. For
it's
sure.
very technical, so. Too. We talk a lot about, like, how, yeah. you know, her jiu-jitsu, the reason she's picking jiu-jitsu up so well is, you know, she understands, like, a very, like, algorithmic approach, like, you push the leg down, you cut the knee across, you get the underhook, you
yeah,
put the head
like
underneath
recipe.
The chin, and it's the same thing.
Yeah,
you
techniques
know.
You have
to
like
stick,
a recipe.
You have
sure.
to stick to a recipe? Did you ever
yeah,
just improvise
I mean,
or throw in some...
Like for cooking, sure. Totally different thing. But for baking, I mean, like a quarter teaspoon too much baking soda is going to ruin everything. Mm-hmm. And the thing about baking is you can't tell until it's baked. So there's no fixing
right.
it while it's, you know, if you put too much salt in something, you stick a potato in it, and a potato absorbs the salt, okay, you can start over again. If you... You can't put a potato in a cake. It's ruined. Like, so
that's such a weird thing. You, like, you follow this specific set of instructions, and that somehow is supposed to produce this delicious thing. But as a chef, how do you, like, have the empathy or whatever? The, like, you're not making it for yourself. You're making it for so that a lot of other people will enjoy it.
Yeah.
How do you, like, how do you make something that's delicious to a lot of people?
Yeah, I mean,
how do you know that?
Yeah, it depends what kind of place you're in. I mean, if they're coming to a family style restaurant, they probably don't want something frou-frou and weird and something that's $13 a piece, you know, where you might go with a strawberry shortcake instead because they're going to understand what it is and that's what they're going to get. So, I mean, you sort of play to your audience, I guess.
The one thing that I think jiu-jitsu and the culinary world have in common is it's, for the most part, it seems to me dominated by men in terms of the numbers.
Yeah.
So, like, if I looked at the top 10 chefs in the world, for example, or even the top 10 chefs in the States, and they're all guys.
Yeah.
Like, I know some of them, but most of them I didn't know. But it's all guys. Do you have an idea of why that is? Like, why?
You know, first of all, I find that funny, considering that, like, home-wise, like, more women do the cooking than men.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, it's hard. It's very. I think the hours have a lot to do with it because women, well, more women have children, and women are expected to be home at certain times, and not like in like a 1950s kind of way. But
yeah.
women are the homemakers, and so when you're not home at 8:30, 9:30, 10:30 at night, like your husband's fending for himself, I guess. But yeah, I think the hours have a lot to do with it. I think it's physically demanding. I mean, you're on your feet all day. It's not fun. People are yelling. It's rough. It's a boys club. So
is it intimidating too? Like,
if you allow it to be, sure. I think
like at any level. So I dated a girl that was like, I'm sorry, I don't know like all the technical things, but I think it was like line.
Yeah. There's like line cook.
Yeah,
and
so she was like
chef,
at the lower
chef.
Level, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was just starting out.
Yeah,
like, that was tough. I mean, she's like a rough. Like, she could handle it, too. I think you guys have a similar kind of mindset, like, if you're tough. But it was just a tough world. Like, she had to deal with a lot of, comments about her ass and things like that at first.
Yeah.
Like, then you have to shut it all down.
You have to shut it down. And that's the thing is, in order to maintain a career in that industry, you have to be able to shut it down immediately.
Right.
Like, there is no, you don't let it linger for even a second in the air that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's just how you do it. Just shut it. Like, no, sorry, you're an asshole. Bye. Yep. You know, I mean, that's it. You just move on. But, I mean, it's not easy. And women are soft. You know,
no, we're
mean?
All but soft. Like if somebody said, if somebody came up to me, if a big guy came up to me and touched my ass and said it was very nice, I would probably giggle first and be, I wouldn't know how to respond.
Right, but you learn to respond and be like, I mean, that's actually fortunately never happened to me. Like, no one's just come up to me and grabbed my ass or anything. But, you have to be
Josh
ready.
Is staring both of us down right now. I know. Like, what the fuck are you fuckers talking about?
Where's this going?
I'm going to kill both of you.
Get to the point.
I think it's, it takes a particular kind of anyone to do it, but more so a particular kind of woman to do it and really thrive in it. That's the difference. Right. I mean, a lot of people do it, but thriving in it is a whole other story. Becoming a chef versus staying a line cook is different.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So you mentioned Boys Club. Tim Carpenter called it that. He struggled. So the jiu-jitsu world, he saw jiu-jitsu as a boys club. Do you think it's just an incorrect term for something that's just a place for people to come kick ass and take names and no funny business? Or do you think, I remember when I started judo, my instructor said, the two girls, giggled or something, and he was like, there's no giggling in judo.
There's no crying in baseball. Yeah.
Do you think jiu-jitsu is a boys' club in the sense that it's all, really serious, or can it be just very...
I mean, I don't have that experience at Balance. I don't think it's that way. I mean, I'm sure that there are places that are like that, you know? I mean, there are kitchens that are like that. So I assume that exists regardless of what the industry is. But yeah, I mean, there's clearly more men than women. So, right. I mean, you have to be, again, a certain kind of woman to be able to, you know, play with guys and succeed, you know? Right. I mean, I feel like there's a difference between doing it and succeeding at it. You know, I mean, it's like, stay a line cook, be a chef. You know, you can train all you want, but, you know, using that, I'm so tiny as an excuse not to do anything is a problem. You know, I'm not saying women do that in general, but there are people there. I'm sure there's guys there that do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So, but like Josh said, is with guys, there's more pressure usually to look tough.
Yeah.
So even if you're small, coming out with an excuse like stuff hurts or whatever is.
But I feel like I'm that way. Like, I feel like I bring that same thing. Maybe because of my experience in the kitchen that I'm like, you can't look weak. It doesn't work. You know what I mean? Like, one sous chef asked me, what's the biggest thing about being a chef? Like, what do you do to make you manage and make people want to listen to you? And I really honestly was like, you can't be afraid to get punched in the face. Right. Like, because I have full on gripped up 6'4" dudes and been like, get the fuck off my line. You suck. And I, guys would be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? But I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. Like you, and I'm not afraid. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're afraid, then they'll smell it and that's it. Yeah. And then you're done.
It's like prison.
It is like prison though. Prison it's the rules. Same dynamic. You can't, I'm sure female prison guards probably hear exactly the same kind of questions. Right. You can't walk in there and be like, hey guys, you think
excuse
you
me,
get
prisoner.
The knees ready? Yeah, excuse me, prisoner.
Could you get back in your cell?
it's funny, you're saying all this stuff. Like, I could get away. So, jiu-jitsu has a lot of nerds. Has a lot of nice, polite, quiet guys. Yeah. Okay, and I work in the world of quiet, polite, nice guys. So I can get away with. I don't have to ever go to prison or live by the prison rules, and in a certain sense you're coming face to face with real with people with the negative stuff of greed and ego and things like that coming out, and you have to show strength, and you can't you can't pussyfoot around stuff. So that's awesome. That sort of that develops you in a very good
way.
Yeah,
I mean, I went to culinary school right after high school, so I was 17, 18. I mean, I was not who I am now. So I think, like, it shows a lot about someone that you can go through that, and then it puts you in a different mindset. Like, it's not, you know, definitely not the same person. When I was 17, I'd be like, okay, I guess so. You know, whatever you say. Who knows if that would change my jujitsu, though. I don't know.
Yeah, so you gain confidence pretty quick then.
Yeah, I mean, like, hey, I was lucky I had a coach, right? I mean, who starts with a coach? No one. You know what I mean? Like,
what
do
you mean, like the... No, I was talking about in the culinary world.
I mean, I think...
Everybody who, when they're like 16, 17, they're like shy about the world. So like when you first step in,
it's scary. And I just, like, the first time I got yelled at, I was like, I mean, my first inclination was to leave and cry. But I was like, fuck this dude. I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? And I guess that's when you're tested. That's when you either, you know, rise or fall. But I just came back harder. You know,
well, you mentioned you started with a coach. I mean, your husband Josh is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Do you think that's something that, like, do you think it's possible for a girl to start alone, just to walk onto the mat?
For sure. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I think it depends on the environment. I mean, I can only talk about balance because that's the only place I've ever trained, and of course the people that run the school set the example. So, you know, Josh being there, and you know, he's not the kind of guy to be like, what the fuck? You know, what are you doing here? And again, I think it's a lot, it's personality based. I mean, everybody says that your personality comes out in your jiu-jitsu, I think. You know what I mean? And it depends on kind of woman that you are. But I feel like if you're coming there for self-defense, then it should start to instill in you some, you know, self-confidence that you should be able to do things. And I mean, I think that the first time I trained... Like, I mean, I trained with you, you know, and we did, like, you know, basics, stand up and base.
Do you remember sucking or, like, sucking real bad at jiu-jitsu? I think you're, like, I've never rolled with you when you sucked. Like, you've gotten good fast.
Yeah, I mean, I got my ass beat the first time I rolled real bad.
With Josh?
No. I rolled with Tony Burke.
Oh.
She beat the shit out of me. I mean, I was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, I had no idea, but I had never, you know what I mean? Like, I had no idea. I didn't know. I didn't do that much basics. I had... really no, like, indicators on how to roll. So
that wasn't really the first time, though. You rolled with Yen, I think, before that, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that was, like, maybe my first or second class.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I had no idea what I was doing, but I very quickly was like, all right, how the fuck do I stop this? Because whatever she did, I didn't like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, it's the same thing. Like, you go in a kitchen and somebody tells you your shit sucks, and you can either be like, oh, my shit sucks, or you can come back and be like, watch this shit. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like that. I take, that's my attitude. I come, you know what I mean? So yeah, I got my ass beat, and then I came back the next day. Like, how do I stop A, B, and C?
How did you pick up the knee cut? Cause Matt, like, Styles make fights. And when I go against you, you do, your game ends up being a lot of the same game as Josh does against me. You do a very hard knee cut. When did you pick that up?
I actually didn't get the knee cut from him. Anhi runs, well, we do that women's group on Monday nights, and Anhi showed it. We called it the jamming in the clam pass. So when I saw that, I thought, wow, that's pretty effective. And I was doing the Toriano pass a lot, and like I was not that successful with it. And so, you know, just kind of, it just worked its way in. I don't know. Now that's like the only fucking pass I go for. I'm like, cut passing. Like, I have no time for anything else.
The interesting thing to me is, I mean, Josh is also, you know, he does a lot of things well, but one of his, like, I would say, like, A games is knee cut pass, right? Like,
that's it. One I love that move.
So you guys both kind of, like you said, you came to the same move and different paths. But do you think your marriage could still work if you chose a different kind of pass? Like,
although we did have an argument about X-Guard a little while ago.
Did we?
Because I wanted you to start teaching me X-Guard, because I know nothing about it, right? So I'm like, I really want to work X-Guard. And he's like, you're not ready for X-Guard.
Well, yeah, because at that point, like, you don't just magically appear in X-Guard. You have to get there from half-guard, butterfly-guard.
I wanted you to show me.
Yeah, like, do you guys have arguments about jiu-jitsu? Like,
we've had arguments about jiu-jitsu.
We, like... it's, we were just talking about this morning. Like,
she gets mad at me.
I get mad. Like, you know, when you're rolling with your significant other, and I've had this conversation with Nikki and Brian too, mm-hmm. there is no filter for emotion. So it's like, if you stop my knee cut pass, it's yeah. it's fine because you're Lex and I'm yeah. Angie, and there's no,
you're gonna just deal with
no,
it on your
there's
own.
A filter. Yeah. You know what I mean? And maybe I'll go in the car and be like, oh, I don't fucking understand why. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but then with him, it's like, and it's not like we have like issues or anything, but yeah. I don't have a filter. So like, I sort of say it's like when I'm afraid to fly. I don't like to fly. I mean, I do it because I have to go places, but, and I don't want to sit in Philadelphia the rest of my life. But like,
oh, you mean on the airplane? Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is she talking about?
Some new shit.
Is this a dragon thing?
That's what happens when you got a black belt husband. So you learn all the cool shit. No, like, but when I wow. fly with other people that are afraid to fly, I'm not afraid because I can be tough for them. Right. But with him, I have no. Like, I can't be. I fall apart. I just, right. I can't deal with it because he's the strong one. You know right, what I mean? Right. So, like, I just lose, like, the ability to shut down my emotions when we train sometimes. So, like, there's times where I'm fine. I mean, and then there's times where I'm like, I can't fucking pass. And it makes me angry.
She gets this yeah. murder face.
I get
like,
this, like, glazed over eyeball thing. Like, I don't know.
You weird. Ever see that famous picture of Charles Manson where his eyes are open real wide and they're kind of shiny?
Yeah.
She gets murder eyes
yeah,
like that. Like,
really
her
pissed.
Eyes get real shiny.
And it's so funny because I shouldn't be able to pass his guard. I mean, I'm a, right. I just got my blue ball.
It's
like,
so frustrating.
Yeah,
yeah,
and, but it's like... But I want to, and, right. and he's stopping it. And it pisses me off. It's like when you stop it, it pisses me off too. But yeah. I don't like, I don't show it because I don't have to show it with you. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
that's funny because for me, I do have that relationship. Like if Josh, like there's a lot of frustrating training sessions where he'll shut down the game. You know, I'll have a tournament coming up and he'll totally destroy my main
yeah.
game. And then, but like what heals it is we have some time apart. we get to spend like
yeah.
there's like next day I come back and it's fine, you know, but it's if you have to take a car ride home together, that might be a difficult
I mean yeah, it ends so. It sort of ends like I think once we leave, like I don't think like sometimes yeah. we'll be like, oh, sorry, it's being a bitch, like whatever. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
then it's over
long.
Like it definitely doesn't like spill over into home life or anything. It's yeah. not like I'm like, take the trash out, stop fucking up my kneecap pass. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's not like that at all. But
that actually brings up an interesting point about like there's a few people, like one quality that is good about you that makes that helps you get better at jiu-jitsu, and I think you have this as well, Lex, is that you guys don't, I don't see you guys thinking in terms of like belt levels. Like you don't, like for example, if you do a move, Lex, I don't think you're like, ah, well, I couldn't get the move to work because he's a black belt. Like, you know that the move should work on me just as well as it should work on a blue belt and a purple belt and a red belt. And, like, I don't think that either of you guys, you don't, like, allow that to be an excuse. Like, I couldn't get the butterfly guard sweep to work on Phil because he's been a black belt for 500 years.
Yeah.
Like, you guys go, okay, there's a butterfly guard sweep. That person right there is a human being who has a nice colored belt. I'm going to flip them. And if it doesn't work, how do I fix it?
Right.
I really try to... That's like, I'm a nice guy in general, like in a bad way. There's a kind of niceness when you have power to do anything and then you're nice. That's a good kind of nice. And there's a nice when you're just afraid or it's a weakness. So a lot of times I'd be afraid to go against a black belt and to go 100%. You know, a lot of people deal with that. But I'm trying to... The only way you get better is to go 100% against a black belt. And in order to go 100% against a black belt, you have to be okay with every once in a while, like, doing actually something effective against them.
Yeah.
Even though they'll get pissed off, they'll come back hard at you, like, and submit you, and it might actually hurt your relationship for the next, like we said, like 5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
They might be pissed at you for, but you have to do it. And then you make each other better because that one time you successfully do something to that black belt will probably be the last time because they'll remember it and they'll fix whatever the problem they had that allowed that to happen. Either they weren't going very hard, they weren't taking you seriously, because that's the nice thing I like is a lot of times like black belts won't take me, or anybody, white belts won't take me seriously, and when I go hard against them, then they'll step their game up and then you sort of make each other better in that sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a long rant about, I don't even know where I was going with that.
No, but that's a good point though. I mean, that's something I try to tell like a lot of the people that I teach, like don't even worry about the belt color. Just pretend like everybody that you're rolling with is a white belt. And I try to do that with my teachers, like Phil and Rick. When I roll with them, I try to pretend like they're white belts, and they still fuck me up, but at least I don't get in my own way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And they probably appreciate that as well. You know, they want the challenge. I think, Angie, you're getting good enough to where you're starting to see sort of certain concepts in jiu-jitsu, certain ideas about jiu-jitsu. So do you guys have disagreements about, like, you know, for example, how to do the knee cut pass or how to do a certain technique? Like, Josh will try to correct you. You know, I have that with coaches a lot, where somebody will say, hey, this is not how you do it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, back in your mind, you're like, well.
But I kind of want to do it my way.
I kind of want to do this my way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's times where I'm like, are you sure? And then I think to myself, like, are you really, Angie? Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know shit. You know what right. I mean? So, like, and in training, it's going to come out whether I did it right or wrong anyway. So, right. You know, it's like, I would never, like, voice a disagreement. Like, I would be like, I don't think that's how you do the income test. But, like, I mean, there's times where I feel like maybe he's getting somewhere with me, like, in training, and I'm impatient about where he's going.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? And that's, you know, like, that's me being a shitty student. You know what
right.
I mean? It's not really, I don't think we disagree on, like, the theory of jiu-jitsu. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
No, I mean, sometimes, like, she trains with me a lot, and I try to put together, like, a plan for her, and she learns stuff from other people as well, but, like, you know, I try to put together, like, a basic plan for her, and every week we do private lessons, and we try and build off of what she already knows, and there's some instances where, you know, I'll show her a move, and the move is just not right for her.
Right.
You know, maybe at this point in time, or, like, that half guard thing I was showing you last week, your hip screwed up, so you couldn't do the half guard to X guard. So, you know, there's some things where, you know, a move's not working for her, and that was my fault, and it's just I wasn't right. And if she voices that opinion, and she says, you know, I don't think I can do this move, this is not working for me, and we dig into it and find out, well, okay, yeah, she's right, she really can't do this move yet, then, you know, then we'll go back and we'll figure out something different for her. And then there's other times where, you know, I'll show a move and, you know, it's the kind of thing that, like with the X guard, you have to learn how to get to the X guard. You have to have a good half guard and a good butterfly guard before you learn X guard. So there's certain things that she wants to learn and she has an opinion about, but I'm trying to set the foundation so that she can do those things well 2 months down the road.
Yeah.
Instead of doing them poorly right now.
I still try at all, but yeah. I mean,
but it's not like we have real disagreements about it.
No, I don't think so.
Because we're both pretty rational. I mean, if she says something, I'm not like, who are you to question me? I'm a black belt. Like, I'll listen, you know?
Yeah.
And if I agree, then I agree. And if, you know.
I feel like we have I mean, I don't think it's a weird dynamic, but I think as far as like married couples go, like we don't have that like deep-rooted hate for each other.
are doing something wrong.
I know. Even after 11 years. Well, we were over my dad's house the other day, and my cousin, we were just talking like by ourselves, and my cousin yelled across the room, what, do you guys still like each other after all this time? And I was so proud that like it was like, yeah. Like noticeable.
Obvious, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's really cool. Like I left with like really feeling good about myself. Like,
we've been together for 11 years now.
Yeah, 11 years.
And so
pre-wipeout. Josh wasn't even a wipeout.
Pre-jiu-jitsu
completely. Yeah.
Yep. What do you see as a change in Josh from white belt to black belt?
I mean, physically, he's completely different. Because when I first started dating, he was just like super skinny, like long hair.
Yeah, I was like 136 pounds, I think. Yeah.
Oh wow.
But like, no, I don't think you had any muscles. You were just like skinny.
Yeah. I had strong legs from skateboarding.
Yeah, true.
But now I have a powerful shoulder structure to boot.
You're a lot more mellow. Like, he's very
was
mellow.
Was his sense of humor just as terrible back then?
This is 24 hours a day. I say that in class almost every night because people look at me with, like, pity.
Yeah.
I'm like, 24 hours a day, every
Yeah, they
day.
Think it's just a show that stops.
I know.
Stops
no, it is not the jiu-jitsu show. It is truly the Josh Vogel show.
No, I'm me. At the gym, I'm me.
Yeah, you're very, like, I think Murph said to me, like, me being there humanizes you. Because I think everybody has this, like, because your jiu-jitsu is amazing. So it's like, I feel like people have you on, not that I don't have you on a pedestal because I love you, but people have you in a different light than I do. So, like, to me, it's like, you know, I've seen you at your worst, your best. Yeah. I mean, we've been through everything. So I don't, I mean, I guess it's when I'm there, it's...
You don't respect me.
True. Shut up while I'm talking.
So does Josh Vogel cry during movies? Is there any movie where he cries?
Did you cry at Life of Pi? Because I was bawling.
I came close, but I didn't quite do it.
He came close to crying. Right, but we have really love cats, so I feel like that movie was really hard to watch because it was just like a big cat. I just like imagined like all the cats that we've had that died, and I was like, "Oh, my cats left me too." But like, yeah, I've seen him like, you know, tear up a few times. Yeah. He's not a big crier though. Not, and I can't. I could probably
once every like 5 years.
Like, yeah, how many times you've cried in 10 years?
Yeah,
you know, it's always something serious.
I wouldn't mind crying. It's just I don't that often.
Well, you're a man's man.
What do you, what's,
yeah, clearly I'm a man's man.
Can you think of something embarrassing that he's done?
Oh my God, embarrassing.
Has he ever worn women's clothing?
No, I've never seen you wear women's clothing.
Does he dance a lot when he's alone?
Oh, yeah, he does. The other night he was twerking in bed. Don't even try to deny it. Hysterical. We have like dance
How's
parties.
This twerk? How's this?
I mean,
pretty good?
Know, I'm a fan of Josh Vogel, so I'm okay with that.
I'm better than Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Well, do you think a man can twerk properly? This seems like a challenging.
I mean, I don't want to see anybody else do it, but
he does all right.
He was okay. But yeah, we have like dance parties in the kitchen. I mean, we're pretty goofy.
Yeah,
like at home, we have pretty good amount of fun.
Sing country songs.
Yeah, we just sing "Dirty Cold Butt Hair."
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, what's that about? "Dirty Cold Butt Hair."
Oh, Josh will sing it for you.
I'm not gonna sing.
So I had this like nasty fucking pube stuck to my foot one night. Like, yeah. We're in bed and I'm like, it was after training and like, for, I don't know, for some reason I just didn't take a shower and like, fuck it, I'm just going to bed, I don't care. And I'm like, look at my foot, I'm like, what the fuck is that? It's like this disgusting hair. And I knew it wasn't mine.
Yeah.
And Josh decided that it was a dirty cold butt.
Yeah. So we made a country song about it.
But it's so ridiculous. Like, I'm like,
dirty cold butt hair way down low.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad, right? Yeah, so this is essentially what we do at home. Yeah. Like, we have a dance party, we twerk, and then we sing dirty cold butt hair before we go to bed.
We actually had a rap about gluten-free bread at the club too one time.
Yeah.
I don't remember the words for that though. Yeah, because we were
we were like bread starved.
Yeah.
Are you guys still following like a paleo style diet?
Nah. Well, Tony's got me on like a new thing.
The juicing thing.
Yeah. So we're juicing, which is really good. I have to say, I feel pretty good. And then, I mean, I'm like trying to lose some weight. So
yeah,
not that I want my shoulder pressure to suffer.
But normal food again.
But,
like, we just had a hoagie from Wawa.
Yeah.
Like, so we're
it's
you know
portion control. I got a problem with eating too much. That's my problem. I like food. I like to eat.
It's good stuff.
Well, is there anything better than like when you're done training and you're like just fucking eat and you're all full and you're like tired and you just lay there on the couch?
Feel like you earned it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I try not to like her posts on Facebook because she wrote something about Tony wrote something about like juicing, but she also added something about like personal responsibility and healthcare in there. Yeah. So she's a big time Republican and
she is. Yeah, I told her I was going to mention her by name today. She was like, no, I was like, it's all.
But she voted for Obama and then she says that he broke her heart, so now she's flipped.
I have no political affiliation
whatsoever.
This
turned into like
whatsoever.
Charlie Rose now.
I know. Like, so tell me what you think about Obamacare.
Well, I was born in communist Russia, so...
They don't have calories in Russia.
I want to take over, yes. I want to take over America from the inside.
Nice.
One calorie at a time.
Yeah. I'll start it as a diet, but then I'll start like throwing on these political messages. No, you haven't competed yet, but... Are you thinking at all about competing? Would it be cool to, like, Josh, your husband competes sometimes. He jumps in there. Would it be cool to just, like, do a tournament together where you, like, both coach each other?
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. I don't know if I'd be a good coach for Josh. Because I'd be like, ew, don't mess up my husband. But, yeah, I mean, I would, for him to coach me would be great, you know. Although, I'm not a great listener, I gotta say. Because sometimes I do positional training in our privates, like, with the end and stuff like that. And he's, will coach me, and I'm just like, fuck that, I'm not doing that, you know. So, like, I have to get over that before I compete, because...
Well, I wouldn't coach you like that in a tournament. In a tournament, I would just tell you how much time is left, and I would remind you to breathe every once in a while.
That's good. I would need to hear that. But, yeah I would love... I plan on competing. I just been... I didn't expect to get my blue belt so soon, and then I kind of like shit myself a little bit when I was like, because I was planning on doing a tournament like right after belt promotions, and then I was like, well, I'm not doing it now. Like, that's crazy. I mean, I've been a blue belt for like a week, so you know, One of these days.
But like Josh said, I really believe, especially with your style, with like good technique, like the higher ranks are actually easier.
Yeah.
So you almost want to like wait. Like I feel like, because then at the higher ranks, it's technique versus technique. Mm-hmm. It's like a chess match as opposed to I'll go crazy.
Well, you made a good point on Facebook earlier about the intermediate division versus the advanced division in tournaments.
Yeah, I feel like it's the same thing. Although in Nogi, one thing that people are afraid of in advanced divisions is the heel hooks and calf crushers and toe holds and all that. Yeah. It just sounds scary when you read the list of rules with the neck cranks. But it's actually not that bad. I've never been... If you don't want people... Like, especially with your style, like you have good like guard passing, I feel like... I haven't seen you like in a 50-50 position much.
No.
You're not like playing footsie, so I feel like you can avoid a lot of that stuff with good basic jiu-jitsu. Do you see yourself, you know, you started what, a year and a half ago?
It's actually be a year on the 20th, a year.
Oh, well. Yeah. So do you see yourself sticking to it until black belt?
Yeah, forget it. I'm like...
Forget about it.
Yeah, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah, there's no way. I can't go like 3 days. No, I mean, there's just no way. I can't.
Well,
I can't imagine not training.
But you're also, have you gotten injured at all in a serious way?
Serious? No. I mean, I broke some toes, and
I mean, Josh. So, like, I think Josh has never been seriously hurt in jiu-jitsu, right?
I mean, I've had like some lower back problems that were as serious as I've had. Like, I've had like bulging discs and some problems with my sciatic nerve that took me out of. That severely screwed up what I could do on and off the mat for, what, almost a year?
Yeah, a while, yeah.
Yeah.
But you were still, like, on the mat? Like
I was still on the mat, but I couldn't do very much stuff from the bottom, so I had to do all top stuff. And then there was the back problem, and then there was the eye thing when I screwed up my eye. That was pretty serious.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess what I was saying is, like, injuries, like, that take you out of, like, where you can't be on the mat, like, a lot of knee stuff or... Or lower backs or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's been nothing that's like kept me 100% off the mat for more than 2 weeks.
I feel like that's the biggest challenge that for some people will make them quit. Because if you have to take 6 months off from jiu-jitsu and making that comeback, you're completely out of shape.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard, but I'm pretty sure I would.
You ready? The other challenge is you're getting... Now potentially you're getting a job.
Oh my god! I gotta get back to work.
I mean, I mean you're also always busy. You have clients that you make and cakes for and bake for. You have a business, but do you see yourself struggling with the balancing of jiu-jitsu and work?
Yeah, I mean I'm a little worried for my personal time more than anything else. But yeah, I mean,
Josh is number three on the list.
He's there. He's number one.
I'll be the one eating turkey out of the fridge.
It's like melted together now. So it's like, you know, like we hang out on the mat too. So it's like, you know, I feel like that's sort of part of our relationship, I guess, at this point. But yeah. I mean, I want to be able to train. I mean, I made it pretty clear in my job interview that I have other things in my life that I don't want to live at my job. So we'll see how it goes. I mean,
you mentioned somebody at your job was actually trains, right?
Yeah, the chef's brother trains. Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. So that's pretty sweet. Yeah, I don't know if his brother or brother-in-law, but one of them. So that worked out great.
That's cool. They understand, though.
Yeah, I just feel like it's that kind of community where you hear like, oh, you train? Oh yeah, my brother trains. Oh, okay, you must be cool. So.
I have sometimes trouble explaining to my family this wrestling thing that I do. As a girl, what do you tell them? I imagine the same thing with the culinary world. Like, what do you tell them about, like, how do you explain jiu-jitsu to them as a girl?
I mean, it's good that Josh already trained for so long because they kind of have an idea, I guess. Yeah. Like, they've seen him, like, seen matches of his on YouTube and stuff like that, so they kind of know what it is. But I think, like, my parents were like, okay, you know, if it makes you happy, that's fine. And I don't think...
When you tell
your parents and they just don't get it, it's like I don't think they get it.
But did they try to like talk you out of it?
Nah, my parents are really supportive. I don't think they would ever say like you shouldn't be doing that.
But were they like, are you sure about this?
I mean, I'm sure they thought it, but they didn't say it. But
they're pretty cool about it.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Well, my dad was like a little less than like supportive on things, but you know, sometimes dads are that way.
Like, you kick ass on the mat, so I imagine that doesn't happen that often, but do you guys go light on you because you're a girl?
Yeah, and I take full advantage of it. Yeah. I'm, you know, they go light for the first, like, 30 seconds, and then I don't go light. So, you know what I mean? It's easy. Like, you have to put, I'm going to put my jiu-jitsu out there for whoever. Well, I'm training with a girl, I'm training with a guy, I mean, that's it. So if I get a grip and they let me keep the grip, then I'm going to use the grip. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how I feel about it. So if they want to go late, sweet, thanks, because I'm going to tap you.
That makes it really nice. Like, you're very clear about your jiu-jitsu. Yeah, I'm just going to go at this pace. We're not going to... There's not that weird awkwardness that I have with a lot of people when I roll. It's like, oh, we're going to go 50% here, or is this, you know, like a flow roll thing?
I don't know. I mean, I don't, like...
You're just
like,
I'm
going
to smash through you and you try to stop me.
Yeah, right. Because that's what it is, right? I mean, I don't have the same experience as girl. I mean, I'm not 120 pounds. I'm not tiny. I'm not weak. You know, so I don't have the same experience that someone that has those attributes is going to have. Right. You know, and I don't think, you know, I feel like
but
I
you also
want...
have confidence. I think that's a key thing.
Yeah, it makes a big
for
difference.
Guard passing and stuff. Like, yeah. It's not about strength. I feel like it's a lot of
yeah, but I mean... There's people that are tiny that are like flimsy. Like I'm not. I'm like a solid person. Mm. I feel like, you know what I mean. Like girl or guy, I'm hard to move. So it's good, you know, for jiu-jitsu. That's great.
Yeah, but I feel like what they're, you might be right, but I feel like what they're missing a lot of lighter people. Like I roll with Josh and he feels like, you know, 300 pounds. So
yeah.
I feel like what they're missing is clean technique and confidence.
Yeah, yeah. Confidence, like, I think, is a huge thing. I mean, I don't know where, like, having confidence comes from in jiu-jitsu. I don't know if you have to, like, get somewhere first and then you start to build it, or if, you know, I don't know even where it comes from with me. I just do what I'm going to do, and then if it works, great, and then as it works, you feel better.
I think part of it's that pastry chef thing, though, like that exact science of, like, okay, if I put 2 tablespoons of sugar and some baking soda and some ginger in this, then I'm going to end up with... And I put it in the oven for this amount of time at this temperature, then I'm going to end up with these cookies.
Yeah, and it works. That does work for jiu-jitsu. I mean, if you...
Because it's not like, oh, well, the cookies didn't work because I was kind of tired today. And
you know? That's right. Like, oh, I worked my arms so hard. That's why you kimura'd me. It's like, shut up.
But I think you come from like a very like you know, that kind of approach. That's how our jiu-jitsu is too. Like you,
yeah, but like
if I put my hand in the hip and I get my underhook and I put my knee over top of your thigh... And I put my head in the right spot, then I should be able to pass your guard.
Right. True.
So you don't use the belt as an excuse. You don't use size as an excuse or strength or anything. You just, not an excuse, but I mean, people have
as
reasons
a reason
why
not to succeed at something. Yeah.
And some of those things are valid reasons. Like when you can't pass my guard, I've been doing this for 10 years, so you shouldn't be able to pass my guard.
I know, but still.
But in your own head, you don't think about it that way.
No, I don't. That's the thing. Is like I feel like, okay, I did everything right. What am I doing? You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. What happened? That's how I feel.
But
then I can go home and figure out what happened.
But I think that's where her confidence comes from. Is like she trusts jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I trust that it's... Yeah, I mean...
If you follow a certain formula that, you know, should
that
work...
it should work.
It will work.
Yeah. I mean, trust the recipe.
I've been lucky. I've had some success. I mean, I'm not like awesome, but...
Do you approach with it like that? Do you look at a recipe or do you improvise with jiu-jitsu? Like, that's something I just recently talked to Kit Dale, as a black belt, has had some success in competition, and he seems to improvise a lot more and just kind of, you know, like, you know, if you push one way, if your opponent pushes one way, you just kind of go with it and see where that takes you. Like, you move your hips and...
I think I'm just now starting to play.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like...
Well, it doesn't feel... When I roll with you, it doesn't feel like it feels like you're following a system, like a... you're ignoring everything I'm doing.
So good about my jiu-jitsu.
It's very true. I'm very impressed with your jiu-jitsu. So you follow a very specific, like, which I like that style of I'm going to ignore everything you're doing and just do my thing.
Tenacious.
Tenacious.
Like
yeah.
Tenacious.
And it works.
Like,
it's very good.
Like there's times where I'm like, all right, this is clearly not working. So I need to do something else. And I just try to figure out what to do.
To me. Like, especially there's people, you know, in like wrestling that specialize in a certain set of moves or even a certain one move. And to them, there's never a time it doesn't. So when you hit a moment where you feel it's like not working, that means you need to try harder over and over and over again.
Yeah, but I mean, Yeah, yeah. I mean, I still continue to do the same. Right. I mean, have we ever like slapped hands and me not going for the cut pass? Ever? Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, and you know I'm going to cut pass. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't switch sides too much. I mean, that's that to a certain extent, but like clearly, like when you get both hooks in, I have to do something else. It's not gonna. Yeah. I can't stay trying to cut pass with no knee. You know what I mean? So it's like that in that sense. Yeah, like I'll. But most of the time when I do. Like deviate, it's stupid. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah. I wish I wouldn't have done that. But I was just saying the other day that I just learned my first like YouTube thing. Like a year in, I finally watched something on YouTube and was able to execute it, and I was really proud of myself.
Oh, your deep half guard pass.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Because Josh put me in deep half guard. Who do I ask when I'm trying to game plan on Josh?
Yeah.
Right? So right. All week I was in deep half guard, and I'm like, I have to learn how to pass. Normally I'd be like, babe, what do I do? But I couldn't do that because I was planning on surprising him with my awesome deep half guard passing.
And then she told me about it.
I know, but I was so excited. But yeah, I mean, you know... I think that makes for good training when you just are tenacious with your shit, I guess.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Do you ever teach Josh stuff? Like, I know there's one thing you do that, one certain grip on the leg that I showed Josh and he didn't know about it. But
I just told her about that last night. Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't even know I did like a thing. I mean, I know we had talked about it that I kind of like curl up on your foot and I just do that. I don't know if it's, I don't think anybody showed me. I just do it. And I guess I taught him something now.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. Cause like you did something to Lex. Lex told me about it. And then now I'm going to start to do it. So I
everybody's getting tripod swept.
Yeah. Josh tried to convince me to try to like convince you that he taught you this move so that.
Yeah. He would try to take credit.
I was telling Lex that I was going to tell you that I taught you that move when you first started, but you just don't remember.
That drives me fucking nuts too when people say that to me. I mean, that drives me up. And I think, I'm here 5 days a week. Yeah. You tell me I cut pants because of Josh one more fucking time.
Yeah, is there a lot of time? So I imagine you get, you know, you're married to a black belt. Are people, and you've gotten good fast, are people saying that, well, yeah, she got good because obviously.
I heard it a lot. In the beginning, I heard it a lot, and it would irritate me a lot. Like, I don't let it bother me now. I still hear it sometimes, you know, but I don't let it bother me anymore because I know that I'm there, and I know I do the work.
Right.
You know, I know I do my drills. I know I'm training twice a day, 5 days a week sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, they can say that it's because of that, and that's fine. And yes, it's certainly helpful. I mean, it's great to have someone to ask questions to.
Is it helpful, like... Like, how do you learn? How do you find yourself learning?
I take class. I mean, class is hard because I feel like...
There's so much stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot. And then if you're intelligent about your game, then you should be able to pick what's going to fit into it and what's not. Right. And so I feel like in class half the time, like the very first 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, not working for me.
Yeah.
Just for now. You know, you put it in the back of your mind, and then maybe later I'll explore it. But, I mean, we do private once a week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I do it with Yin also, so we do it together, and then, you know, it's 50% what she needs and 50% what I need, and, like, I have enough to have, like, a good, intelligent role, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then I troubleshoot either on my own or I'll ask questions, and then, you know, the next time I try to do something different. I think it's like anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. It's like anybody else. Like, you don't have to be... You don't have to marry a black belt to have a conversation with him on the
No, mat. I mean, that's the thing. It's and like I people ask him say all the time, that, and I'm like, he's available to everyone. I mean, I...
It's funny, because that actually, that question about, like, where somebody's jiu-jitsu comes from reminds me of something that I heard in a Cron Gracie interview a while back, where, you know, Cron Gracie, Hicks and Gracie's son, Hicks and Gracie's known as, like, the best jiu-jitsu guy ever. Legendary in the sport, and so everybody assumes that his son got all of his jiu-jitsu from him, which according to the interview was not the case. He learned, you know, he would see his dad at home at night and ask him questions sometimes, but during the day when he was training at Hickson's school, he was learning from the instructors that Hickson had teaching for him a lot of the time, mm-hmm. and from his teammates and from Hickson's other students. I'm sure he learned a lot of stuff from his dad, but like, you know, and I'm not comparing myself to that family. I mean, they're very different experience, but, you know, sometimes what you would assume to be the case is not the case, you know, just like people assume that, you know, like we spend 24 hours a day, like rolling on our home mats and jiu-jitsu.
I just was bitching to him this week that he doesn't teach me anything anymore. Like, you never show me shit. Like,
well, in the beginning, I would show her a lot.
We
would train together like twice a week and we would do very specific drilling sessions to get your game in place. But for the last like maybe 3 months or so. Basically over the summer, we haven't really trained together that much.
But I mean, there's when it bothered me the most in the beginning, I used to be like, it's not like he's jumping into my body and doing the things for me. Right, I mean, exactly. He's taught you too. Yeah. And it's not like anyone says, hey, Lex, you got your purple belt because you're Josh's friend. Right. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? You're there doing the work and you're awesome. So people recognize it.
It's doing the, I mean, he's doing to you the same as to all his other students.
I mean, like, well, he didn't think that like there was like a style. Like you can tell when you train with someone who trains with Josh, I think. You know what I mean? Like, but he didn't think he had like a
oh, you mean
like a set of students.
I think there definitely is.
Yeah, I think there's like vocal style.
They all have really bad eyesight.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. So, Josh, did you have a sense, like from your perspective, when you're teaching Angie, did you think that you would like to encourage certain techniques over others? Like, were you forced to try to push your own philosophy of jiu-jitsu?
I mean, in the beginning, what I wanted to do was to give her a basic outline of stuff that I knew would work for her, like one move from every position that I knew would work. And then once that groundwork was laid in place, then we started to focus a lot on transitional training and tying those things in together. So, for example, the first thing she learned was an X choke from the guard. And then after that, she learned Toriano pass. Mm-hmm. So, and then she learned how to go from side mount to the mount and do the X choke from the mount, right? So she does a Toriano pass, and then she gets the side mount, and then she goes to the mount, she does an X choke, she gets bump and rolled, she's in the closed guard. As soon as she gets rolled, she transitions right into the X choke. Mm-hmm. So she started to understand transitions early on. And so in the training, my goal was just to give her like a basic outline of moves and then show her how important it is to understand what happens in between the moves. And so as she starts to progress, you know, and she moves beyond what, you know, what I showed her, she's not just thinking in terms of moves. She's thinking in terms of how does this move relate to stuff that I already know, and what's the transition? How do I catch the armbar while I'm still cut passing the guard? How do I catch the X choke while I'm getting bump and rolled from the mount?
All right.
So
one of the challenges I find with the game that you just described, which is this basic, very basic game that teaches a lot of the good principles, is a lot of the people have seen it. So a lot of the other white belts are good at defending it. So you might not find so much success in rolling with people.
They don't focus on the transitions. That's the thing.
Right.
So you're staying like a half step ahead.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I feel like. That's you stay really like good. A half step ahead.
And, yeah, because the way that most people learn, they do, like they learn, you know, some mount stuff. They learn some guard stuff. They learn some half guard stuff. But they don't, like, it until they're, like, high blue, early purple belt, they never start to think about, like, okay, well, maybe I can catch the armbar while I'm still passing the guard.
Right.
They think in steps instead. They think, okay, cut pass, stop, top of side mount, stop, look for the armbar, stop, you know, instead of, like, cut pass, right to the underhook, right to the armbar. If the armbar doesn't work and they spin to the turtle, I go right for the guillotine before they're turtled up.
I still have problems not thinking like that. I mean, I think that's, if you can instill that kind of thought that you should be thinking a little bit one step ahead, is that's a really valuable lesson.
Yeah, and if you take a beginner and you teach them
early on
one basic technique from every position and you teach them how to transition and not worry, like, I think people get too complicated early on too. Like, right. With beginners, they'll learn two or three different moves or four different moves from the guard. They were in the kimura from the guard. They were in the X choke. They were in the triangle. They were in the armbar. But there's no way to tie those things together. Right. But if you just learn one move, then the second you end up in the guard, you go right for that move.
Yep.
And there's no hesitation. And there's no doubt. There's no second guessing yourself. Like, should I go for the X choke? Should I go for the armbar?
That's all you got is that.
Yeah, true.
I mean, do you think it's important for beginners to have a technique that they can kick ass with? People at their own level?
Yeah, you got to choose the right move. Because, I mean, like for me, my experience learning jiu-jitsu was I spent the first year and a half or so of my jiu-jitsu experience on the bottom of side mount. Right. And I couldn't get anything. I didn't submit somebody for, I don't think, a year into jiu-jitsu. And then I got the hang of getting an arm bar from bottom of side mount. Mm-hmm. And then that led to me getting arm bars from the closed guard. So for me, like, I got the arm bar, and once I got a taste of that success, then I started to get confidence. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to do with her and what I try and do with a lot of my students is try and give them a move that is going to work for them. Like, some people, like, she's not going to be doing, you know, when she first started, she wouldn't be doing, like, you know, an inverted triangle, right? But she would be successful with something like an X joke from the guard because she's mm-hmm. got strong legs and she's got pastry grips. She's been kneading dough for, you know, 20 years or something, yeah. 15 years. So, you know, somebody with grips like that, if they get both hands in the collar, I don't care if you're a white belt or a black belt, you're going to tap. So she had some success with that. She had success with the Kimura from the guard early on. Stuff that requires good, strong grip, but mm-hmm. that suits her body type well.
Still not rolling upside down. One day I'm going to surprise myself and roll over my own shoulder.
You're getting better, though.
Yeah, it's all right.
But then there's other students that I teach that have a different body type and a different mentality, too, that, you know, I wouldn't teach an X choke from the guard right away.
Right.
I would teach them maybe an omoplata or an armbar from the guard.
When I first started, it was taught the X guard off the bat, but as a system. It was drilled into me for, like, over a month of just, like, all the different options you have, and I obsess with it. So it's very non-traditional, I think. But yeah. I was taught by people who value all the mount, all the basics. It was just so happened to be that's when I joined. It was part of the curriculum at that point.
Yeah.
So, the difference between the X guard and the choke for mount is people are much worse at defending X guard.
True.
So I had a lot of success, and I started, I like this jiu-jitsu thing. Everybody's easy to sweep, because I feel like if you choose a sweep that's a little bit more standard, like a scissor sweep, for example, or even if you follow the principles, it's sometimes difficult to have success, even against, especially against guys and girls your own level
yeah.
when they're spazzing out. So it's kind of this, it's interesting. If you can have the patience to really allow yourself to learn those transitions and those very simple techniques, are you okay with not tapping anybody for several months? Then
I think it's also, you know, like, you're like, neither of you are weak people. Not even when you
right.
started jiu-jitsu, you're
so
both pretty
meat-heading it. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I can't remember if you were meat-heading it, but like, you know, if you were you were like 110 pound somebody who never did any exercise before yeah. in their life, then you're not going to be X-choking anybody. You're not going to be X-guard sweeping anybody. You're going to be on bottom of side mount getting smashed for a while.
Right. That's true.
So for you, your first moves are going to revolve around, you know, maybe getting an underhook and escaping to the back, or somehow squirming your knee in and getting a closed guard back, and then maybe working for, like, I don't know, some kind of, like, arm wrap, arm lock, or something like that.
Oh,
like,
man,
something
that sounds like hard work. That's, yeah, wow, that's yeah. You just made me realize that there's some little people that really have to go through a lot of struggle when they first start.
The process yeah. is longer. That's why for me, I wasn't strong at all when I started jiu-jitsu, so it took me like a year and a half to get anywhere, you know, to get my first arm bar, like a year.
Lex is like, damn, dude, you sucked.
No, that's where strength, everybody says, like, you know, jiu-jitsu doesn't require strength, and I mean, you have to have a certain level of general physical preparedness to be able to successfully implement jiu-jitsu on somebody else who's resisting.
Yeah, do you find yourself like building up muscles in places where you didn't have muscle before?
Yeah, I mean, I train like weights in order to get better. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, I mean, I definitely am fitter than I was before a year ago, so... Yeah, I mean, it develops an interesting kind of strength, but it's not like a weightlifting strength.
Yeah,
you know what
it's
I mean?
A core,
it's
not like, and whatever.
I mean, my movement is better, but I don't know if I could like lift any more than I used to lift, although that's pretty limited.
Yeah, but that's all specific stuff.
Yeah, it's like...
I mean, you can squeeze a choke harder than you could a year ago.
Yeah, we talked about this too, about like not using strength versus using strength that you don't even realize you're using. So it's like maybe you're not like... going fucking ape shit trying to do something, but maybe you've X-choked so many times that your hands are just very strong at X-chokes.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself going late against girls because they're girls?
I have, yes. But I mean...
But she'll go late on a little guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
little people, it's
little,
not...
Yeah, because I'm not little, you know what I mean? So for like,
well, not even little, I want to say like not strong. There's certain styles.
Yeah, I think there's a place for that, too. You know what I mean? Like, you're always going to use your attributes. So, I mean, if I'm clearly stronger and bigger than someone and I want to do something technically, then I'm not going to just lay on top of them. I mean, that's just, that's a waste of training for me, and it's shitty for them too. You know what I mean? So, I mean, unless they say, hey, I want to work on my escapes, and I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know what I mean? That's different. But doesn't everybody go lighter on people that aren't as skilled as they are?
It's a tricky thing, because in tournaments, I do the absolute division a lot, and at least at my rank level, some of the toughest matches I have are the lighter people.
Yeah.
So I'm teaching myself not to go light on the little people, because the little people will crawl up your back and choke you.
Yeah.
So you can't let them do that.
Yeah, it's like when people say, like, you know, oh, go light, don't use strength, but then you got to tell... You should say the same thing to somebody who's flexible.
Don't use speed.
Yeah. Don't use your flexibility.
Yeah, don't use anything. Yeah.
Just stick to 90-degree angles with your legs and hips. You know, if you exceed that, I'm going to be upset. You know, I'll write about it on Facebook later.
I mean, I think it's helpful to be.
Don't be smart. Don't be so smart.
Yeah. Don't be so intellectual.
Could you just think like one step ahead?
Has jiu-jitsu like changed who you are already, like as a person, personality-wise?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and I think a lot of women in particular would say the same thing, is that I used to like hate my body and be very like, oh, I wish I was like a small girl, and I wish I was like this, and now I'm like, that's sweet. Like, I'm like, this is sweet. Like, I'm like the perfect body type for jiu-jitsu as a female. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not huge, and I can move. But I'm not tiny either, so, which is a huge, huge, huge change. I mean, women really have a hard time with that. I think that a lot of women struggle with body image and hating themselves and not feeling good about themselves. And I think that, like, just to have pleasure in having, like, muscles and maybe, all right, yeah, maybe I got big thighs, but maybe it's because I'm cut passing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like that. Then you feel awesome about it. So you're like, all right, shit, I don't feel like, I don't look in the mirror and think, like, you need to lose that belly. I think, like, you need to lift some weights so you can bore somebody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it changes your outlook on your physicality. I think, I just from female's perspective, I think that's probably a big deal for women.
That's an interesting point. Like looking at your body in terms of what you can practically do versus what a society thinks you should look like. Like me, I'm a little guy, and like, you know, if I read Men's Health and all those like weightlifting magazines, like I would sit there and feel like shit because I don't have like a, you know, huge chest and a giant arms. But I can climb a building in like 3 seconds if I need to. I don't have that extra, you know, weight to carry around. Yeah. Like, you know, I can squeeze through a tiny window if I got to get into my house. Like, you know, if you think about it practically, like your body is good for cut passing. Your body is good for climbing. Your body is good for, you know, running or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I think it makes it a lot easier to deal with what you're given naturally.
True.
Or taking somebody's back and choking the shit out of them.
Or that.
Yeah. Necessary.
See, I like, in those aspects, I'd like to be a little guy because I think that's great. I'm like, damn, I wish I could.
You're too greedy. You want everything.
I know. I want all the jiu-jitsu.
I'd like to be like Roger Gracie's build. Just this giant blanket
it's
of
like
a human
long,
being.
So long.
But he looks awkward. Like, outside of the, like, a lot of great, like, wrestlers, too, it's funny. They all look awkward when they move around outside of off the mat.
Yeah.
It's on the mat that they need the other person to help them look graceful.
Yeah, you're right.
That's like dancing.
Yeah.
Like Josh needs me to make him look like a good dancer.
Are you guys good at dancing or no?
No, we're both terrible dancers.
Have you ever done like swing or, I don't know, tango?
No,
or...
we didn't even dance at our wedding. We had no dancing.
No.
I insisted on no dance
floor. Like it was like
thing.
In, what's that movie, Flashdance with Kevin Bacon? What's the one where dancing's outlawed in that country town that he goes to?
I have no idea.
He's like the...
Remind me never to
Footloose,
that's
what it was.
Footloose, yeah.
I never
Dancing was banned at our wedding.
I've never actually seen that movie.
Never? You're not missing anything.
Well, you stay up late and watch like retarded movies when I'm sleeping, so...
Yeah, I
miss
know,
a lot
like,
of things.
90% of Josh's references.
Because that's what happens when he can't sleep. It's like, I'm down. So I'll come down in the morning and there'll be like bowl of cereal over here, some like crackers or something, like a cup of coffee.
Like
and
a trail
yeah,
of food.
A trail of snacks. And then I know you stayed up all night. And I'm like, okay, now I have to clean this up.
You progress really quick in jiu-jitsu. Does that change your cooking at all? Like,
No, I think probably by the time like I started training, I had all my bad habits already established. So it hasn't done anything for
that. Are you evolving? Like, is there, that's something I wonder a lot. Like, is technology changing baking at all? Like, is there like evolution, or is baking been the same thing for the last 50 years?
You know, it's, there's like more modern approaches to it, but it's essentially the same thing. I mean, there's that, like, that molecular gastronomy and things like that.
Are you like, do you think the look of the final product is important relative to the taste?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I think it has to have both. You need it. Yeah, you need
both.
So
you still need it?
Yeah, you need both. You can make a beautiful cake and have it sit out on the counter for 4 days and taste like shit. And, you know what I mean? And nobody wants to eat it. So it's like, what's the point of baking a cake? You might as well just do it out of styrofoam.
True.
Yeah, you do some beautiful art with your work.
I do like that. I do enjoy doing it.
Where do you see your future? And so we know you're going to establish the... my guess would be your game won't change much in jiu-jitsu. I watched videos of Josh when he was like a blue belt or something competing. And it's funny, like, even though the game changes, I'm sure Josh might think his game changed. But like when I watch the movement, it's very similar to what you do now. It's something you talked about a lot is fixing errors or whatever.
Duct taping.
Yeah, duct taping stuff. Yeah. You just did that for like 10 years and you've just duct taped the shit out of point where there's like no holes.
Yeah. My game's like that old, like when you go into somebody's house, like a 50-year-old house that's about to be torn down and you look underneath the kitchen sink and there's all these like pipes that are all twisted together and some are made out of metal, some are made out of plastic and...
I feel like that's what it is. It's never like this perfect sculpture. It's something you just kind of put together and perfect over time.
Yeah. You know what's cool about... I was watching some old footage of Roger Gracie a while back, and I think one match of his at blue belt, and then one at purple, a couple at brown, and then his black belt matches. And he played pretty much the same game, but at blue belt, people would shut his A game down, so he would switch to his secondary sweep. Purple belt, you know, they would still shut it down, but he would only have to like go one or two steps back. Mm-hmm. And then by black belt, people were not shutting down his first thing. Mm-hmm. It was just like the same game, but he was able to duct tape those things so that they just could not, he didn't have to use his other stuff because nobody was shutting down his, you know, pass, mount, choke.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so the game didn't really change. That's what I guess my point was in terms of jiu-jitsu. I could see you like sticking to that same cut pass and
I'm
not actually quite sure what your guard is yet. I think you're evolving.
I'm trying to work on it now.
You're like playing with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's sort of, I'm like determined not to just be good at one thing.
Right.
Of course, but like, yeah, I haven't figured out. Like a lot of pieces are just pieces. there's no rhyme or reason to them. So yeah, I mean, I like the top stuff. I mean, I'm happy with that, and it needs work for sure. I mean, I need to figure out. I mean, I'm blue belt. So.
Well, the thing is, that's why I got really lucky with is I found something I was somehow really good at in guard, the X guard thing.
Yeah.
In the beginning, so I find that a lot of people will put you, no matter how strong you are, on your back in the beginning.
Yeah.
So you need to have a good guard.
Yeah, I need something. I mean, I'm trying to play with like X guard, bottom half guard, kind of thing. I mean, I'm not like you laughed at me earlier when I said this, but I'm not like a plane changer. Like, I'm not like an up and down kind of person. Like, I'm either down or I'm up. So I'm not like a switcher. It's not going to work for me. So I need something where I can just like lay there and have them like climb into my like web of horror.
Web of destruction.
That's kind of where my jiu-jitsu's got to go on the bottom. But you know, I try to be active, at least in pursuing something. You know, one day it'll click, and that's after that. I'm not changing shit. Until then, I'm exploring. I'm exploring myself.
Actually, what you find is being human is once you figure out something you're really good at, then you'll. After about a couple of weeks, you'll start taking it for granted, and you'll be upset about the next thing.
Yeah. I told you, that's like some weeks my cut pass is just shit because I think I'm so awesome.
Like you didn't pass everybody's guard, so you're really
upset.
I know,
and I'm like, what happened? Where did it go?
So we figured out your jiu-jitsu game,
now everybody's going to game plan on me. They know all my shit.
I think people that train with you know your shit.
All dudes are going to go 100%, 1,000,000% on me now and just beat my ass.
But. I think there's that temptation. Like I was told by coaches in the past not to put out like your competitor. So you don't want to put out videos of yourself doing your main game. Obviously, I'm not like a serious, like it's competition is just a fun thing.
Yeah.
But even if I was a serious competitor, like I think of somebody like Ronnie, it doesn't matter that you put videos of yourself.
No.
Everybody, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Is that something that you should, you hide your game?
I think it depends on why you're doing jiu-jitsu. Like why you're competing. I mean, if you're competing because you want some medals and you want to feel good about yourself, then hide your videos.
No, but say you did want to win medals. Do you think you should? Still, do you believe that a video or even teaching others your technique will somehow make your technique less effective?
It can do two things. It can either, people can game plan. People with confidence will game plan against you and they'll shut your shit down and then you'll be forced to evolve. Or people with less confidence will see your videos and go, oh shit, that guy's really good. I'm intimidated. And it'll help you win matches.
If your thing was the knee cut, haven't you been dealing with people your whole life that have been trying to shut that shit down? So aren't you pretty good at this point to like...
Yeah, but there's always somebody. Innovative technique that's going to pop up that, you know, like you do stuff that starts to shut down my knee cut that's different than what anybody else does to shut down my knee cut.
And so you have to... But yeah. If that was a tournament match, you might have to lose that first time, and then you have to figure out if you want to keep winning... Maybe you don't want to put a... Well, whatever. I'm going to ignore that fact. I'm just going to put videos out.
But if you want to get... If you're competing to get better at jiu-jitsu, then put your videos out because you're gonna get better. People that can fight you harder and have smarter game plans against you are going to make you get better than people that are intimidated by you or that you can beat easily because they don't know your game.
Yep. But you're... So we figured out your jiu-jitsu game, but you're in the culinary world. What are your... It's funny because when I Googled you, that bio like had, or the interview had like, what are you going to do in 5 years or 10 years?
Oh my God, what did I say?
It was cool because. So is this like? I think it was ten. It was
this ten. Probably about 10 years ago.
At 10 years mark now.
Yeah.
And you like it was asked like whether you would want to own your own restaurant or something or like that cafe or something like that.
Yeah.
And you said that maybe down the line, but you're not ready. There's too much other responsibilities with that you don't want.
Yeah, I still don't want that. I still don't want it. I don't want to marry anything. I'm already married. That's how I feel. You know what I mean? And I'm not like a housewife or anything, but like I want to have a life and I don't want my life to be my work.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want my work to enhance my life, not the other way around. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I got to get a job because I got to make money. So I can't train jiu-jitsu for free forever.
You're pretty passionate, though, about about baking, right?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, that's what I do. You know what I mean? Right. That's what I do for a living. That's what I do for fun.
Jiu-jitsu is kind of like something you're passionate about. It's kind of a new thing. But
yeah, I mean, I didn't expect it to... I got laid off, which gave me nothing to do, which made me want to train all the time because I already liked it before I got laid off. So, I mean, I spent the last 6 months basically training jiu-jitsu full-time.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's not like... It's not a career path for me. I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, I like hanging out at the gym, but like, yeah, I mean, definitely.
Well, if you have to choose, I mean, especially because you're, you know, Josh is an instructor, it could somehow become a career path, but.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about maybe if he had his own school sometime yeah, I mean, I could teach basics or something, and I would enjoy that. I mean, he's been teaching me to teach the basics, so I would like to do that. I mean, I've been trying to, like, practice on white belts, so I don't know how good they're getting at what I'm teaching them, but
I do. Like teaching?
I like teaching. I mean, I like teaching in culinary industry too. So yeah, I mean, you're either a good teacher and you either enjoy. I mean, good teachers enjoy teaching.
Yeah.
So I mean, no matter what it is, I mean, you. I have much more confidence in my baking teaching abilities than I do in my jiu-jitsu teaching, of course. But
do you do that much of that?
Yeah, I mean, I take on interns, and I mean, I've done seminars and stuff like that. I mean, we went to Texas last year to do a seminar.
That's right,
Grapevine, Texas. Yeah. Everything has cheese on it in Texas. Just if you haven't been there,
yeah,
really?
you cannot be lactose intolerant in Texas.
Cheese, really?
Yeah. Everything has fucking
I
cheese on it. That's why
a lot
big,
of bloody
big,
steak, but
big people.
Yeah,
yeah, cheese. There's large. Well, that's what they say.
The
about
hotel was really cool.
Yeah, cheese on the steak. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we couldn't find one thing to eat without cheese on it. At a chef's conference, no less. Like, nothing without cheese on it. But
okay. Yeah,
the hotel was kind of cool. It was it was like a biosphere. You remember that from the 90s?
It was.
It was so
always beautiful.
It had this giant... We were enclosed in this giant bubble. And I guess it was... What was it, kind
of
cold? It was really hot outside. But inside the bubble, it was temperature regulated. So it was like the perfect weather.
Sounds like the future.
It was pretty amazing.
I hope they do that. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything. Robots will take care of you and
give you
cheese. I never stayed at a hotel with a water park. That was really awesome. I thought I was plunging to my death because the zipline is fucking scary as shit.
It was like 3 feet above the water.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you go in there and it's like 12 feet of water and you expect to be up already and you're not and you're like, ah, I'm not up yet. That's what was scary.
Swim.
Shut your face. You were scared on that.
I was scared of nothing.
No, I saw your face when you came down that crazy ass slide. You were scared.
That's because I had my glasses on.
No,
I couldn't see.
He was scared. Lax,
so what is he scared? What's Josh scared of the most, would you say?
Well, he used to be scared of spiders, but now he's got this like Zen master relationship with spiders, so he's not afraid anymore. I know you guys talked about that on another podcast.
Yeah, he basically made friends with them. That's your approach.
Yeah,
to facing the fears.
I do not take that.
Anti-fragile X.
Anti-fragile.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I kill him. I'm like, I don't want you in my house. You have to go.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What are you scared of?
I fear nothing.
Heights? Afraid of nothing.
No,
I'm scared of heights a little bit.
Yeah, but
not too bad.
You climb shit. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You still climb all over everything. I don't know. Like, I'm definitely like the worrier of the relationship. Right. Like, he does stuff and I'm like, oh my God, please don't fall. Like, I can't take it. Yeah, I'm much more high strung than he is. Like he's not like a really, like I'm like the scaredy cat, I think.
I'm scared to get my eyes poked out.
But you're scared of things that have happened to you already. That makes perfect sense. I mean, you've already had your eye poked out, so it makes sense you'd be afraid to have that happen again.
That shit hurt.
I left buttercream all over the wall when you called me.
Really?
Yeah, I flung, because like, you called me and I didn't know how badly you were hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And so I left a mixer on and the buttercream got really, really hot.
Yeah.
Like as I was telling everybody I had to go. And then it just, as buttercream gets hot.
Just so you guys know, my eye didn't really pop out when I was training.
I have a feeling this isn't making the cut anyway.
Yeah. I was training and I went for a double leg and I ran into like somebody's thumb went in my eyeball. And it took out a chunk of the side of the eyeball, and then there was bleeding inside of the eye, so I got hurt.
This turned dark pretty quick.
Yeah,
I know.
No, it's the clouds, but you actually wrote a good set of blogs about it, like how to keep training through that kind of thing with goggles.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. I almost like you stopped wearing goggles at a certain point, but it was like your thing. You were like
the guy with the goggles.
I was happy when he was wearing goggles because
you know, like most like dictators have like a mustache or a hat of some kind, like in
your Castro kind of beard.
Yeah, a beard. Yeah.
Well, it's just great because when he's training, he never wears his glasses, but his glasses are such a part of his face.
Yeah.
So that the goggles became like that thing on the mat.
Yeah.
Well, I like it because for when you got promoted to black belt, I feel like you put the goggles on.
Yeah, he had one.
So that was like you maintain the image.
Every picture, I'm like,
one last time.
Goggles. They're all yellow too.
I gotta wash those things off.
They probably stink.
Yeah, it's been like 8 months.
They stink like your eyes.
I know my eyes are gonna smell bad.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks for talking to me, guys, and we're gonna have to talk every time Angie gets a new promotion.
Sweet.
So and, every rank and see how she changes.
Yep. Talk to you in a couple years.
We'll make sure to mention you on the next episode, babe.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Make sure you talk about me every single time. I'll wait for the time, and that's all I listen to.
It'll be towards the end, so you listen to the whole
thing. I do. I already felt like I was part of the podcast before I started, because at least I hear my wife or Angie from one or the other of you, so I'm like, yes, it's me. So now it's official.
By the way, are you okay? Josh calls you Angela a lot, which is...
When he talks about me,
he
calls me Angela. When he introduces me to someone, he calls me Angela.
I imagine he thinks of you like in this white flowing dress, running down a beach.
I hope so.
Saxophone like playing in the background.
Like sweaty dirt with like stinky armpits like I usually am on the mat. Like.
Wearing a white gi, slowly walking across the mat.
That is one thing training. I'm like, man, like I'm just like not cute anymore. Like I said to me the other day, I was like, oh, I'm gonna wear like cute clothes now. So like when I'm not at the gym, like you still think I'm attractive. Yeah.
Well, sometimes you wear like pink, like
I wear some pinky a little bit.
Well, like half, like just the pants are pink.
I know.
Like,
well, that's like I told you, I can't rock the whole pinky.
Yeah.
I did, but then I knew better.
It was too much.
It was too much.
All right, awesome. Thanks for talking, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lex.